This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by the Syngenta Agronomy Team in the Midwest. You can keep up with the latest crop management advice from Syngenta by visiting their No More, Grow More blog and by signing up for their regionalized twice-monthly digest. It's a holiday-shortened week, and the grain markets are trading lower. Are traders growing more confident the corn and soybean crops will reach maturity before the end of the growing season? Or are they growing less confident demand will recover? Or, is it a combination of both?
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Dr. Angela Basinger from Merck Animal Health, and then Pro Farmers Washington correspondent Jim Wiesmeyer will update us on trade. And right after the news, the ladies are in a froth for Mike Opperman from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Hey, Davis, thank you so much. I hope you had a great weekend.
We did. We did. Good. Some surprising developments.
Oh. Wow.
My handsome news wife.
Yeah.
Doesn't care for seafood. But for some reason, this weekend, she got it in her head that as we were throwing on those ribeyes, maybe we should throw on a couple of shrimp on that, on the Bobby. Yeah. And we did. We did that Friday. We went back to the store on Saturday for more shrimp. We went back to the store on Sunday for more shrimp.
Uh-oh.
Absolutely delicious, but I don't know if I could eat another shrimp right now if you paid me to do it, brother.
Dude, that sounds like a craving. That's what that sounds like to me.
I just don't know what to do with it at all.
I know. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I love seafood, yeah.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It was very eventful.
It was all that brainwashing that you've done with the, playing the I love seafood tape over and over in her ears while she's sleeping.
While she's sleeping. It's the subliminal stuff that really I'm finding. That's what gets you the traction to actually move forward with some of these issues.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
Yeah.
And Hurricane Dorian.
Mm-hmm.
Just continues to just spin off the coast of Florida. Mm-hmm. They're still waiting. Everyone is still waiting for it to make its next move. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it on radar, it has been sitting for a long time. And everybody is just curious which way this thing is going to move next. You look at the eye of that storm, and it hasn't moved much at all in the last 20 hours, something like that. So
they were talking evacuation and stuff and states of emergency and all kinds of stuff clear last week. And, it's got to be difficult to sit and just wait for this thing because, as I understood it last week, it was supposed to hit Florida somewhere over the weekend. Right. And here we sit.
Right, right. Okay, like I said, grain markets are trading lower this morning. Livestock markets are actually trading to the upside. Mm-hmm. And we've got Jim Wiesmeyer on at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about his special report on China trade talks and where he sees things going, not only in the short term but the long term with China on the trade issues.
Yep.
Do that at the bottom of the hour. All right, let's get to it. What's in the news?
Well, real quickly, let's do start with those new tariffs. The United States implemented another round of tariffs against China, targeting clothing and other items. The measure also includes increased tariffs on exports of soybeans, crude oil, and pharmaceuticals. In response, China retaliated on Sunday with increased duties on U.S. pork, beef, and chicken, along with other various agricultural goods. Soybeans were also saddled with an extra 5% duty in addition to the 25% already in place. More tariffs are set to take effect from both sides in mid-December. The two sides were expected to meet sometime in September for negotiations, but Chinese officials report their schedules may not allow for a trip to Washington until October as China celebrates the 70th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China, Chip.
Yeah. We're going to talk with Jim Wiesmeyer about this at the bottom of the hour, but the frustration level's clearly growing in farm country over this.
Yeah, Oh, you bet. Well, this one's interesting, Chip. In other news, the National Chicken Council has urged EPA to ease ethanol volume requirements on concerns the corn crop will be spread too thin. NCC President Nick Brown said in a statement, quote, the proposed volumes, especially conventional ethanol, should be reduced in the final rule to more accurately reflect the availability of feedstock and the usage rate of biofuels. The council noted a dramatic increase in feed costs since 2007, saying, quote, as corn users, NCC's members are substantially impacted by the RFS and its impacts on the corn market and feed supply. Interesting to think about the RFS from the feeder's perspective.
Yeah, you know, we always think about it from both sides, I think, and mm-hmm. how it provides pretty efficient use of the corn crop, mm-hmm. considering that we get a third of the weight back for feed in DDGs. But I'm willing to listen to both sides on this.
Sure.
But you got to remember the supply side cushion that we've got out here. 2 billion bushels right. of corn going into the now current marketing year, the 2019-20 marketing year. It just there's a lot of supply side cushion out there we'll handle it. We'll be just fine. I think.
Yeah. Well, in a related note, Costco says its poultry processing facility in Fremont, Nebraska will begin testing small batches with the official startup date slated for September 9. The plant has been under construction since 2017 and will process more than 2 million chickens a week when at full capacity. And finally, quickly, Chip, Brazil's government reports that nation shipped a record volume of corn in August. Monthly shipment totals more than doubled from the same time last year. August's record monthly tally topped the previous record set. Would you care to guess, Chip, when the previous record was set?
No.
July of this year.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Corn exports out of Brazil continue to set records.
Yeah. Yeah, that supply has become a big source of competition for the U.S. And it's one of the reasons that we're asking the question, increasing confidence that the crop's going to make it to maturity or less confidence that demand will recover? And that's for both corn and soybeans.
All right.
Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Mike Opperman, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Mike, some of the tactics of these animal activists out there right now. It's illegal, isn't it?
They're getting a little creative, that's for sure.
Yeah, what's going on? What's the latest?
Well, it borders on illegal, I guess. There was recently a dairy farm in Wisconsin who was a victim of a somewhat unique scheme. They actually had somebody call their operation. A woman stated she was with the USDA Animal Health Division, which, by the way, I'm not sure, but that is an official term, and asked for access to the farm to do to make sure that cows were being milked in a humane manner. And of course, she didn't give her name, but obviously this was an activist who was trying to get on the dairy. And it just shows that they're being a little bit more aggressive to try to get on the operations and document some of the things they think are bad. But there's a few things to remember. First of all, if there's going to be an animal welfare audit, it's going to be done in partnership with your co-op. So it's not going to be somebody from USDA calling. Secondly, if somebody does have an animal welfare concern or call it in about your operation, they're going to call it into the sheriff's office or the Humane Society. So there will always be a sheriff present.
Right.
And thirdly, if someone from USDA does come, they'll always have a badge. So ask for a badge, ask for some sort of identification. And remember that trespassing is illegal, and you can always ask them to leave if you don't feel comfortable with them there.
Right.
So they're getting more aggressive, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, more creative, posing as USDA officials.
That's right.
Crazy, crazy.
It is.
All right. Hey, Mike, stick around because we've got Dr. Angela Basinger coming up next. She is the animal welfare lead for Merck Animal Health. And we're going to have a conversation about a conference that they had recently at Fair Oaks. That's coming up next right here on AgriTalk. I've got Mike Leach, a Syngenta Agronomy Service Manager, here with me today. Mike oversees states in the Western Midwest, which were obviously severely impacted by weather this spring. Mike, it's been an exceptionally difficult year. Tell us about the weed pressure that you're seeing.
We're seeing really high weed pressure this year, and it's showing up in escape weeds now, late summer as we look towards fall. We're seeing a lot of amaranthus or water hemp product weeds that are popping up in the soybean fields and showing up late in the season, some standing as high as 5 to 8 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And if they're that tall, think of the seeds that they're producing.
Oh, they're producing millions and millions of seed on a per acre basis that just causes headaches for future.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're thinking about harvest, what do we need to do to help with the weed management for next year?
Well, there's several herbicides that can be used, but Gramoxone 2.0 or SL 2.0 is a herbicide that offers very quick dry down or activity on both the soybean crop as well as the weeds. It dries the leaves down and makes harvest a little more efficient. You're not going to kill the weeds, and you're probably not going to inhibit a lot of weed seed going into the seed bank, but it does make harvest more efficient.
Gotcha. Okay, so after we get that crop harvested, watch for that next flush of weeds yet this fall, right?
Absolutely, and I'm not a big proponent of fall tillage, but tillage is a tool that could be utilized and does get utilized quite a bit. But also, there's a lot of different options for fall application of herbicides to limit the amount of weeds that germinate yet this fall, especially mare's tail that can be extremely bothersome next year.
That was Mike Leach with Syngenta with insights about how to manage weeds this fall. Always read and follow label instructions. Gramoxone SL 2.0 is a restricted use pesticide.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist. What do you call someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst. A person who studies DNA? A geneticist. A person who owns their own business? An entrepreneur. Who researches markets? An economist. And who handles employees? An HR manager. Someone who keeps devices up to date, a software technician. Someone who does business internationally, a global trader. Someone who transfers assets from one generation to the next, an estate planner. And someone who does all these things, you call them a farmer. Because being a farmer is the one job that requires dozens of other jobs. And at Pioneer, we're proud that our job is to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Some things are just better done in the dark. Like sleeping. Sleep talking.
I love polka dots.
Sleepwalking. Farming in the dark is not one of those things. But that's exactly what you're doing when you don't ask for the meal and oil levels of the soybeans you produce. Because, hey, your processor knows, and so do their buyers. Stop farming in the dark. You'll sleep better.
No, it's a cross stitch.
A message from the Soy Checkoff. Yeah. Click to find out more.
Now I'm going to the store.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast that's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Davis, I neglected to mention at the open of the show...
Yes?
that the Dow Jones Industrial Average is off almost 400 points. Much of that is in reaction to the initiation of that of an additional round of tariffs on Chinese goods coming into the U.S. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk more with Wiesmeyer about that at the bottom of the hour. But the other thing is all the protests in Hong Kong. It's raising the geopolitical concerns, tensions around the globe right now, and that is probably taking some of the buying interest out of equities around the globe.
I'm watching a video on Twitter right now as I was scrolling through. The protesters in Hong Kong are grabbing the canisters of tear gas, dropping it into liquid nitrogen, and turning it into its harmless solid form. Boy, they're getting super creative over there, keeping these going. I saw a week or so ago they put traffic cones over the canisters of tear gas and then dumped water down in on them and diffused them that way. Man.
Yeah.
These some of the smartest demonstrators I've ever seen.
Yes, they are.
Or are we going with rioters this week? Is it right?
I don't know.
We used protesters last week.
Right. I don't know. We'll figure that out as the week goes on. Oh, man. Okay. Let's bring it. First off, Mike Opperman, Farm Journal's milk editor, is back for this conversation. Thanks, Mike, for sticking around.
No problem, Chip.
And let's bring in Dr. Angela Basinger. She is the animal welfare lead for Merck Animal Health. Dr. Basinger, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Chip?
Doing real well, real well. And you heard that Mike Opperman is with us, so I want to launch right into this.
Okay.
Why was the latest conference on animal welfare held at Fair Oaks? Is there any connection to the issues and the videos and everything coming out of Fair Oaks?
The conference that we hold, the Advancing Animal Welfare Together conference, is something that this was the third year that we held this conference. And we, of course, as you know, when you plan these things, you do it far ahead of time.
Right.
So we had that venue booked way before the videos, you know, came out.
Yep.
And when we received the information that they came out, because this conference was going to be centered around a theme of, trust through transparency, I looked at it from the aspect, and Merck looked at it from the aspect of being able to have an open discussion around the topic.
Yeah.
So there was not a connection based on the fact that the videos occurred there. It was just a situation where the farms had the videos, but we were going to have that conference there to begin with. So we didn't change our plans, and it was a great opportunity to have Dr. Mike McCloskey come in and discuss what happened and what they did proactively and then as a reaction to better the animal welfare on those farms. So it was two completely different situations, but it did enhance what we had to offer and what we discussed at our conference.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if it may have, you don't want to call it a fortunate circumstance or coincidence here, but it probably gave you a little bit of emboldened Merck to go ahead and stick with Fair Oaks on this, right?
Absolutely. It was a great opportunity to speak about animal welfare and how we know producers are doing the right thing, but when situations do happen, how we respond and how we take care of those situations.
Right.
Hey, Angela, this is Mike Opperman.
Yeah, Mike.
What were some of the things that producers were most concerned about? You know, we talk to producers a lot, and, you know, it feels like they're just afraid of the unknown and, you know, doing all the right things but still getting caught, for lack of a better term. What are some of the things that you heard that they were most concerned about?
Well, just like any of agriculture, the opportunity to hire, you know, trained employees or the training of those employees so that, you know, we can make sure we have people that have the information they need and the knowledge of why we handle animals the way we do to try to avoid having situations happen that are not in the animal's best interest. So that was probably the
part of that
one.
Too, right?
Yeah.
Very good. Angela, who attends this conference? Is it a cross section of everybody involved in the industry?
Absolutely. And actually, it's not just the industry, it's across the entire food chain. We had retailers, we had restaurants, we had the packers, the processors, we had, of course, farmer producers, academics. We had quite a few from a number of universities attend, professors. And then we had technology or innovation companies that attended as well.
Okay. So which one of these groups, or, you know, if it's kind of a universal concern, that's fine. But which one of the groups is showing the most concern over welfare? Is it the retailers? Is it the producers? Who is it?
I think there's equal concern across the whole food chain in that we're looking at a change in the consumer impact on what we do as livestock producers or as food producers, in that they are asking more questions about how animals are raised. They are the power of purchase is in their hands, to where farmers, producers are now having to respond to their demands. And it's not always science-based. It's very much sometimes an emotional response of what they want. It's their social positioning, if you will, of feeling good about what they want to purchase. So they're asking a lot more questions. And since we're in a society right now, at least, you know, North America, United States, of being, they can purchase more, they have more purchasing power, and they're telling us what they want.
Mm-hmm. Well, what a great opportunity for everybody to sit around virtually the same table and talk about issues. I imagine there were some interesting conversations that went on between one end of the food chain and the other.
Oh, very much so. And this year we tried to focus on getting a really good group across all the species. So we had people there, of course, from swine, poultry, beef, dairy. And this year we put a little twist on it and made sure we had people there from aquaculture as well as veal. So it was interesting you were talking about throwing some shrimp on the Barbie this weekend because we had a large group there that talked about salmon production. The discussion of shrimp production came up, and it really made everybody sit back and think that we're not alone in this as a particular species. We really need to start working and discussing the issues across all the food animal species groups.
Wow. Interesting. You know, you mentioned the emotional side of this conversation, Angela, and it from the consumer's point of view and from the animal welfare activist point of view, it's almost a 100% emotionally driven topic, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and some of the things, we had two speakers come that really emphasized the consumer perspective.
Yeah.
Dr. Jason Lusk from Purdue University, mm-hmm. as well as Charlie Arnott. And mm-hmm. they talked about it's not the science anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The consumers really want to know who you are and what you're doing. So it's important that they know you, that they make an emotional connection with you before they can trust you.
Right.
And it's so important for dairy.
Kind of the discussion came around to how can we start to reframe how we talk about food animal production. Mm-hmm. How can we get people to understand that we are, you know, human just like them? We feed our kids the same food that we raise on our farms. You know, how can we start to make that connection to gain their trust?
And it's so important for all livestock producers to speak up and advocate on their own behalf, right? On, you know, what they do and how they do it and why they do it. And
absolutely.
So that consumers can make that connection. That's, yeah, it's critically important.
Yeah. Yeah, very much. You know, and only about 20 seconds left here. You know, it's a very emotional issue, but animal welfare practices are very much based in science, technology. This is what we do to make those animals most comfortable.
That's absolutely right. Producers are doing the right thing.
Yeah.
We just need to find a way to get that across to our consumers.
Dr. Basinger, it's such a pleasure to talk with you again. We'll do it again soon, okay?
You take care, Chip. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That is Dr. Angela Basinger, Animal Welfare Lead for Merck Animal Health, and Mike Opperman.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
Joining us now is ProFarmer editor Brian Grady. Boy, Brian, corn, wheat futures not reacting very well to the weekend developments with China or to the weather developments, are they?
Right. I think it's that combination, Chip, both the weather and the Chinese news. And we're seeing new session lows here in the corn market down about 6 to 7 cents currently. And winter wheat futures are showing even heftier losses. They're about 8 to 11 cents lower in most of those contracts. The good news is, however, the soybean market has turned around and we're seeing now a mixed trade in there. And I think some of that came after the export inspections came out. That typically doesn't move the market a lot, but the corn number was poor and the soybean number was strong, and that's when we started to see a little bit of buyer interest in soybeans and the seller interest picked up in corn. So I think that has some influence.
Gotcha, gotcha. Seems like the hog market is responding favorably to the latest on China developments. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, I'm quite impressed by that, to be honest with you. Increase in the tariffs on U.S. pork shipments. So, that's on top of already hefty tariffs, and kind of anticipated that would put some pressure on the market. But the discount that the futures hold to the cash is giving us some support here, and the cash market just hasn't firmed either. But all in all, given the negative news, this is a very encouraging performance so far in the hogs with strong gains so far this morning.
Yep, and a little bit of strength in cattle.
Yeah, the feeder cattle are firming on the weakness in corn, and the combination of feeders and hogs are pulling live cattle higher.
Gotcha. Thank you, Brian. That is ProFarmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, helping to feed a hungry world with the power of AI.
Welcome back. I'm Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
Yo.
Just really good conversation on the latest animal welfare conference held at Fair Oaks. It turned into an opportunity to really put on display the transparency that a company, a farm like Fair Oaks, is trying to provide to the entire industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say what happened at Fair Oaks turned into an opportunity for something like this, but it was. What a great opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great thing to do from trouble. To make. I've got somewhere up here. Oh, yeah, ingenuity doesn't come out of good times. It comes out of hard times, and maybe we're seeing a little bit of that here. That's great.
Very good. Very good. Let's bring in Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. Jim, how are you this morning?
Pretty good, Jeff.
Good, good, good. So when I started reading your special report this weekend, I thought, boy, Are you kidding me? A gaffe right in the headline, which is U.S.-China trade war, short-term pain, long-term pain. I thought to myself, hey, that's not how it goes, Jim. But but that's exactly what you meant. It is short-term pain and long-term pain.
It is. And, I put the call out for all of our best pro-farmer sources, both at the farmer level, the political people, both political parties and economists. And it was interesting. Real quick, Chip, the story behind the story. The political types think that there will eventually be an agreement because both President Trump and Xi Jinping, China's leader, they both need one. The more economists, and I talked to some high-level economists, are more pessimistic, thinking this thing will drag out till after the 2020 elections and will have increasingly negative impacts on the U.S. ag sector.
Okay. Let's talk about the players in all of this. Start with President Donald Trump. He needs this deal.
Yes, he needs the deal, but again, another gaffe, and that's an understatement he made over the weekend. He said, I'm making the farmers more than whole. The farmers are doing better than if China, frankly, were buying.
Yeah, no.
And I wrote, that's not only fake news, but it's an insult to the ag sector.
Right.
Xi Jinping, China's leader is having to contend with his China hawks, especially going into the October 1 celebrations of the 70th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China. And this is so dicey that they don't know whether or not they'll find the right time to have Chinese and U.S. trade officials meet yet this month, Chip.
And when it comes to Xi, and we talked about it a little bit at the start of the show, another big problem for Xi is the protests in Hong Kong.
Oh, in my interviews, that came out as almost superseding the trade issues. The China watchers we interviewed said Hong Kong events, be they the protest or China's reaction, are potentially far more consequential than even the trade disputes, because it depends on how Xi handles the problem, the global response, and that would have much greater impacts for China and Xi.
Yeah, he can't be seen as weak on Hong Kong in his party, but at the same time, he can't come down as some kind of a tyrant on Hong Kong.
Yeah, that's what we call a conundrum.
Yeah, yeah, really, really fascinating. So what is the progress? How are we measuring it right now?
It changes almost by the hour, as is now the rule now on this. We're awaiting information from U.S. Trade Rep Bob Lighthizer on whether or not they will meet with China. It was going to be the week of September the 16th. Now some China watchers are saying it may have to occur earlier in the month. That's the next step to look out for, Chip.
Okay. You know, and in farming, we tend to pigeonhole this trade war and say it's all about soybeans, but it's not, is it?
Oh, no. With the meat sector, the pork, the beef, the fruits, and, you know, California growers, you go out to California, and this is one of the first things you hear because their dramatic impact of a host of their many export commodities have just gone awry over that. And, you know, it's important to remember that fixing this trade dispute won't solve all the problems in the ag sector, because we had growing carryovers before this situation even began. And then in the case of soybeans, you have the aspect of the ASF that reduced China's appetite for feed. So, you know, there's other things that could linger, Chip.
Yep, gotcha. Okay. Anytime we get into a trade conflict, there has to be objectives. To me, it doesn't feel like that the American objectives have changed much. Or am I wrong there?
I think they have changed. Earlier, recall that Trump's goal was to improve conditions for U.S. companies operating in China, reduce the trade deficit between the two countries, and create a more level playing field, you know, for American companies. Those are still, goals, of course. But now, you know, he also said he wanted to secure a historic deal that would result in China buying billions of dollars worth of American foreign products and stop Beijing from stealing our technology. But now he's turned more punitive. Now he's stressing the two countries as economic enemies at times and geopolitical rivals, and he's advocating a rapid decoupling. You know, when he ordered U.S. companies to move out of China. Now he waters that down every once in a while, but this has elevated concerns about a major downturn in the world and U.S. economies if this thing continues, Chip. So I think it has gone. It's no longer just a trade war, but it's an economic and geopolitical contest now,
which is being reflected in equity trade around the world, isn't it?
Absolutely. You're seeing that along with some somber manufacturing data out today. As Brian said, I think the ag markets have already factored in most of, but not all, of the potential negative news, but not the not the financial markets, because this is an opening for China to actually get into Latin America. Their Belt and Road initiatives, some China watchers were telling us over the weekend that we're handing this on a silver platter to China, because they would have had a far harder time had we gone through a more allied approach with China.
Okay, let's get on to some of these longer-term impacts, Jim. What are some of them that you highlighted in the special report on ProFarmer.com?
Well, it's the investments that country. China will never count on the U.S., nor probably should they, to the degree they did for the U.S. farm imports, especially soybeans. Now, of course, they're price buyers, but they're not going to get 60% or whatever of their needs from the U.S. This has sent the signal around the world, Africa, Australia, especially Argentina and Brazil, to increase investments in their agriculture. And this is just not increasing acreage, Chip, hectareage, if you will, but it's also the agribusiness impact as China builds up their technology in the farm equipment area. And they're going to take a run at John Deere in the years ahead.
Hmm. Okay. We talked about the U.S. objectives in this. China may have gotten drugged into the trade war, but they've got their own set of objectives for this.
Yes, their set of objectives is to continue their long thrust to become the economic might in the world. They're well along the way. I think this trade dilemma with the U.S., if not war, as we believe it is, has accelerated some of their plans, actually, to branch out in not only in the ag sector areas, but in the economic areas as well. Take the case case of Argentina, what we've seen with over the weekend with their capital controls, this is going to play right into China.
Yeah.
Because now China can be the funder of Argentina needs in the infrastructure end, in their buying of their farm economies, et cetera. So you can see where I'm going here. This is the geopolitical aspect of this.
Yeah. So does China just continue to delay to find out how the 2020 elections turn out?
That's what the vast majority of people think. I usually side with the veteran political types who are telling me both Trump and Xi both need an accord. It may take longer than, of course, U.S. farm sector wants and what anybody wants, but most of them, of this crowd, do not see this waiting until after 2020 elections. If it does, Chip, there will be political implications, because the longer this drags out, it is showing aspects of both the U.S. economic downturn and the world economic downturn, let alone the frustration, the angst, if you will, that's increasing in farm country that could have some political overtones.
Gotcha. Those are the highlights. Those are the highlights of a special report Jim Wiesmeyer posted on ProFarmer.com. If you want the details, and there are plenty of them, you got to get on to ProFarmer.com. Thanks, Jim.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with ProFarmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit TryProFarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit TryProFarmer.com right now. That's TryProFarmer.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was the burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have Arc County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on AgWeb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The world's largest totally irrigated working farm show. Irrigation and so much more. Make your plans to be at Grand Island, Nebraska for the 42nd annual Husker Harvest Day, September 10th through the 12th. Get more information at huskerharvestdays.com. There'll be more than 600 exhibitors at the nation's most modern outdoor farm show site. Husker Harvest Day, September 10th through the 12th at Grand Island, Nebraska.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve With private health care, you'll get the coverage you want and health care you need. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910. 800-626-4910.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
You know, Davis, when the drafts of the special report that Wiesmeyer was working on started coming into my email over the weekend, yeah, saying, hey, could you help with some editing on this? I'm thinking to myself, oh, that poor guy.
Yeah.
Here it is. It's Labor Day weekend. and he's working like a dog on putting together this special report. And then I realized it's Wiesmeyer.
Mm-hmm.
That means he was having a great weekend.
Yeah, he lives for this stuff.
Yep. Yeah, he's bringing this all together. He was getting emails from friends and analysts and everything about what they think it really means to the bottom line of agriculture, that he couldn't have had a better weekend than, yeah, than what he, yeah, did putting together, yep, that special report.
That's heaven for Jim Wiesmeyer.
It is.
Yep.
It is. My gosh. My gosh. Did you notice what happened over the weekend? Football season started.
Football season college started. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And if football season has started, you know what that means for U.S. Farm Report and AgriTalk, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes. The college roadshow season is here.
You'll be packing your bags pretty soon,
yeah,
won't you?
Oh, yeah. 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 I'm on the road Thursday.
Yeah.
Heading for Lubbock, Texas, and Texas Tech University, where we will be doing our first of eight.
How many? Is it eight this year?
Yes. I believe it's eight college road shows that we are going to be doing this year. We're going to be in exotic places like Madison, Wisconsin, Ames, Iowa, Columbia, Missouri, West Lafayette, Indiana. The list goes on a little bit longer.
Those all sound pretty good. I've always had a good time when I've gone to Madison. I got some friends up there. Sure.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it'll be fantastic. We'll be tapping in to the ag expertise at all of these universities across the Midwest down into Texas, and learning more about what their schools have got to offer. Now, on Friday, when we are in Lubbock, we will be taping live at the Dairy Barn. I'm not exactly sure where that is on the campus there, but we are going to be at the Dairy Barn.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about the new vet school. We're going to be talking with ag economists. We've got a lot of ground that we're going to cover while we're down at Texas Tech this week.
That sounds great.
You bet. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook that was released over the weekend. The latest update that I've got is from yesterday afternoon. And the reason that I'm mentioning it is because there is a pattern change that developed over the weekend. We've now got expectations of above normal temperatures for September 8th through the 12th in Nebraska. This is the northern boundary, okay?
Okay.
So Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, most of Ohio, we are expecting to see above normal temperatures. Normal temperatures north of that area until you get into far northern North Dakota and far northern Minnesota for the corn and soybean areas. But for the most part, it's above normal temperatures expected over the Corn Belt and above normal precipitation through the Dakotas, Nebraska, most of Kansas, northern Missouri, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, most of Illinois, northwest Indiana, and western Michigan. Other areas normal to below normal in southern Indiana, Ohio, southern Missouri, southeast Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and the Gulf states. This is all obviously after Dorian will hopefully have
right.
made an exit from the scene, from the radar, and we can move on. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing that I see happening here is the forecast calling for the above normal temperatures.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it doesn't get far enough north in the 6 to 10 day. Now, the 8 to 14 day, we've got above normal temperatures expected over all the corn and soybean growing areas. All of them.
Okay.
Up in most of Minnesota is included in that. The southeast half of North Dakota also included in it. And then the above normal precipitation, kind of in the same areas that we just talked about, mm-hmm. In the 6 to 10 day, also expected in the 8 to 14 day for September 10th through the 16th. The above normal temperature is obviously a big plus for my confidence level that somehow, some way, we're going to find a way to get this corn and soybean crop to maturity. Now, mm-hmm. soybean crop, I get the corn crop to maturity. Soybean crop is being driven, obviously, by length of day, length of
right.
night.
Right.
And just like we talked about at the end of crop tour, that within 10 to 12 days, the bean crop in Iowa, Minnesota is going to start changing, start turning color and maturing. Same is true over in Illinois, and it's happening. I mean, we're
yeah.
putting some color on these beans right now.
Yeah, and just anecdotally, here in the central Midwest, central Iowa, my son and I spent a lot
yep.
of time yesterday on the lawn, mowing the lawn, a little
yep.
extra weed whacking. We had the
yep.
leaf blower out. It was uh-huh. crazy, but there weren't any leaves down on the ground. I let the dog out this morning, the first thing I do in the morning, and there were already some leaves on the ground. I noticed
yeah.
that my neighbor's trees had started to change, and I thought, well, gosh, this looks like fall, but at the same time, we still had that sort of summer humidity in the air.
Oh, yeah.
The word that came to my mind was a fall slow cook. It felt like that slow yeah. cooker was still engaged.
Yep.
But some sunshine. Throw some sunshine
yes.
in on that. Now we really got something.
Yes, that is exactly right. And here we sit right now. Already today, it's 80 degrees, but
yeah.
it's cloudy. We're supposed to see the clouds leave this afternoon and get 3-4 days of some sunshine in the Midwest.
That'd be great.
That would be very helpful in finishing off the corn and soybean crops. Helping
yep.
the corn. That didn't sound right at all. And helping the corn and soybean crops do as much as they possibly can with the time that they've got left this year. Wow. Wow.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Davis. Thank you for listening today. Thanks also to Mike Opperman, Dr. Angela Basinger, and to Jim Wiesmeyer for joining us today. You got to come back this afternoon. Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady and I will have a conversation about what's going on in the livestock and grain markets. And come back tomorrow morning. We've got Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue and a Farmer Forum right here on AgriTalk.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad.
Thanks to the Syngenta Midwestern Agronomy Team for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your Syngenta agronomist about weed management and other best practices that meet the needs of your farm.
Ad Council.